This is Ask the Experts. Every week, we talk to local experts in the fields of legal, health, financial, and home improvement.
I'm just a working man, but I stay busy every day.
On this edition of Ask the Experts, we speak with Bob Bollinger of Bollinger Law Firm about workers' compensation. Good morning and welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to local experts in the areas of legal, health, financial, and home improvement. Each week we bring on special guests to talk about a lot of different topics, to share with you a lot of different information, give you some stuff you may not know that would be quite helpful in your life. This week we are talking to workers' comp specialist lawyer, Mr. Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine, Will. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you in quite some time. How you been, man?
I've been doing well.
Yeah? Anything in the world of legalese changed up much since the last time we talked? I know in the grander scheme of things, our world has definitely taken on some changes, but at your level, anything changing at all?
Well, not really. You know, our appellate courts, the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court, they routinely put out new cases which change the law a little bit, add a nuance. So, you know, like any other lawyer, we're trying to keep up with the subtle changes that come along every month.
And I would imagine they are can often be very subtle, too, huh?
Usually when the court does something, it's pretty subtle. The bigger changes happen in the legislature.
Yeah, yeah.
But no legislation lately but on workers' comp, but there have been some court changes.
Well, I know that workers' comp is a very unusual thing, and I think it's definitely one of those things. I know for me personally, when I hear it, I get pretty much a preconceived notion of what it is. I get hurt at work, I get paid. And that's the way I've always thought of workers' comp in those simple kind of terms. But you were telling me before we started, you actually brought your workers' comp book today, and 900 pages. So not as simple as I seem to want to make it in my own mind there.
No, it's not that simple. It's actually a fairly complicated area of the law. This book I brought today is the North Carolina Workers' Compensation Law Annotated, published by Lexis, and it's the North Carolina statutes on workers' comp. And then there are pages in here of what we call annotations that give you a little paragraph about each case that the Court of Appeals or Supreme Court has had on workers' comp. So this does not contain all the law. This is 900 pages, and this is not all the law. There are several hundreds, if not thousands, of other pages of the law that affect workers' comp, because each one of these little cases in here where they give it a paragraph in this book might actually be 5 to 20 pages in the other law book where the whole case is.
No kidding. Wow.
So it's more than 900 pages. It's quite complicated.
Well, and having said all that, then I would think that someone who finds themselves in a situation where they may need some help with workers' comp, sounds to me like the right thing to do is to consult someone.
Well, the nice thing about that is that workers' compensation lawyers all give free consultations. Mm-hmm. And that's because the law says we can't charge a client anything unless the Industrial Commission approves our fee. So we all give free consultations. We don't charge people for consultations. None of us do.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and then when we do get paid, we get what's called a contingent fee, which is a percentage of the money benefits that we obtain for the client in their case. 25% is what everybody charges in North Carolina. And again, that's kind of controlled by the Industrial Commission. They have to approve the fee, and they approve a 25% fee or less. They don't approve more than that. So if you're in a car wreck, you can expect a fee of 1/3, which is more. If you have a medical malpractice case, you can expect a fee of 40%. But in workers' comp, you can expect a fee of 25% in North Carolina and a free consultation.
So that's across the board. That's almost like a law itself.
In effect, it is here in North Carolina.
That's very interesting. Well, now that we've gotten through some of that, let's talk about someone who might need a little help with workers' comp. I mean, I know, again, like I said before we started here, you know, you've run into situations, I think, probably where people have said, no, I've got this. I'll just handle it myself. But knowing how complicated it is now, it seems to me like that would be a very bad move on anyone's part.
Generally speaking, it doesn't work out well when people try to handle these things by themselves, because the complications are beyond the average person's knowledge if they don't have any training. And in fact, your opening comment was, I think of workers' comp as I get hurt at work and they pay me benefits or something along those lines.
Yeah, basically.
Well, it's not that simple. Mm. You have to get hurt at work in a certain way to get covered by comp. Mm. If you're doing your normal job in the normal way and you get hurt, you're not covered. you have to get injured by accident. An accident is something out of the ordinary that happens to you that causes you to get hurt. And the accident has to be something that arises out of your work.
Oh, wow.
So now you're sitting here at a microphone in the radio station. In order for you to get hurt at work in a way that's covered, if you sit down in your chair and the chair broke and you fell and got hurt, that would be an accident. But if you just reached over to pull the chair out like you do 20 times a day and you hurt your shoulder doing that, that would not be covered because you didn't have an accident. You got hurt doing your normal job in the normal way because you're just pulling your chair out like you normally do. And the fact that you tore up your rotator cuff,
it's on me.
Doesn't matter. It's on you. You need health insurance and disability insurance. So that's one of the complications of workers' comp. And I see many people lose their cases early on when they give a statement to the insurance company and they don't point out what was unusual about the situation that caused them to get hurt. And when the insurance company takes a statement from you, they're looking for you to say something that would justify not paying the claim. They're not really looking for all the details so that they can take care of you, because their business model is, we get the premiums and we don't pay claims because we can deny them. That's how they make money. So they don't want to pay the claim, really, unless they have to. So they're looking for you to not give all the little details. So that's just the first complication in the case, and it gets more complicated after that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how to choose a lawyer for your workers' comp case then, because, you know, from what you're telling me, that, I mean, even the word accident has a very specific definition when it comes to workers' comp. So, I mean, does an injured worker really need a lawyer in every single case?
No, I don't think so. If a worker, I'll give you an example. If a worker, a construction worker, was to fall off a scaffold and three coworkers and the boss saw it happen, and they all tell the insurance company, yeah, Joe fell off the scaffold and broke his leg, then the insurance company is going to come in and they're not going to contest that. They're going to say, okay, Joe, we're going to cover your accident of falling off the scaffold. We're going to cover your injury of your broken leg. Here's the doctor. Go see this doctor. We're going to pay for it. You're going to be out of work for the next 6 weeks. We're going to start paying you your workers' comp benefits for being out of work. Joe gets better. His leg isn't broken too badly. He's able to go back to work after a couple months. The company takes him back, puts him back to work. He doesn't have any long-term loss of wages. Doctor says, Joe, your broken leg's healed up pretty nicely, but it's not perfect. I'm going to give you a 5% permanent partial impairment rating. And at that point, Joe's gone back to work. He's making a living again. He hasn't taken a cut in pay because of the injury. His recovery at that point is going to be some money for that 5% rating. So in that relatively simple, uncontested case, Joe may not need a lawyer because the insurance company stepped up and took care of him, and all they're going to owe him at the end is the money for that 5% rating. Joe can sign that paperwork, get that 5% check, and not necessarily need a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Most cases aren't that straightforward or simple, though. Most cases are more complicated and involved than that example.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, I mean, you know, obviously we kind of started off talking about it, how complicated is workers' comp law. And, I mean, just knowing that the starting point, the accident, it has to be an accident, just knowing that much, workers' comp law is quite complicated, to say the least.
Well, it is. And I said the accident, if you injure your back, your spine or your neck, you don't have to have an accident. You have to have a specific traumatic incident of the work assigned. Which means if you're doing your normal job in the normal way, and let's say you lean over to pick up a heavy box, and that's what you normally do, and you injure your back doing that, well, that is covered, even though it's not an accident. But if you leaned over and picked up that heavy box like you normally do, and you hurt your shoulder, that does require an accident, and leaning over to pick up the heavy box is not an accident. So your back would be covered in that situation, but your shoulder would not. So you got the injury by accident, you got the specific traumatic incident, and then you got another category called occupational disease that has to do with conditions that develop over time as opposed to in one particular event.
Real quick, are all lawyers, are they all sort of versed, trained in workers' comp law?
No. In fact, when you go to law school for 3 years, most law schools don't even have a class in workers' compensation law. My law school, Campbell, I graduated in 1988, happened to have a class taught by what we call an adjunct professor at night, which was a professor who's a practicing lawyer during the day, and he would drive over to the law school one night a week to teach this class in workers' comp, and it was not a very big class, and we just learned the basics of it. But it might be mentioned in law school, at most law schools, but it's not dealt with in depth. So most lawyers graduate from law school not really knowing much at all about workers' comp. And even me taking the class that I took, I got out of school and I didn't know much about it either.
This is Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke. Stick around. We're going to talk to Bob Bollinger a little bit more about workers' comp when we come back right after this break.
The Bollinger Law Firm is based in Charlotte, but takes workers' compensation cases across North Carolina. Attorney Bob Bollinger has a strong reputation as a lawyer for people who have been injured at work in North Carolina. Bob will go to court whenever necessary to ensure that his clients get the workers' compensation benefits that they deserve. It is important to have a lawyer who will go to court for you if necessary. Some lawyers avoid going to court and want to settle every case before trial. Bob Bollinger will go to court, and he has been a certified specialist in workers' compensation law for over 15 years. He has successfully handled hundreds of workers' comp cases. Questions about your workers' compensation benefits and obligations? Talk with specialist attorney Bob Bollinger. Consultations are always free. To schedule a free consultation with Bob regarding a work injury in North Carolina, contact the law offices of the Bollinger Law Firm at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Or go to their website at BollingerLawFirmNC.com.
Welcome back once again to Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke. Each week we talk to experts in all kinds of different fields, whether it be home improvement, financial, health, and as this week has shown, legal. This week we're talking to Bob Bollinger from Bollinger Law Firm about workers' comp, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening out there, Bob, who, you know, the first thing they would probably ask themselves about workers' comp is, you know, when do I fit into the category of someone who gets workers' comp? And we talked a little bit about that in the first segment, and picking a lawyer and, you know, do you need a lawyer for every case? And we kind of left there with you. I was unaware of this, but you saying that most law schools don't even offer workers' comp as a class, that you had to take it on sort of a separate night of the week kind of thing.
My law school offered it as an adjunct elective. Mm-hmm. You know, some law schools offer it as an elective, but, you know, you're not required to take it, and you'd only take it if you were interested in it. And even taking the class, you're only going to learn a pretty small portion of it. You aren't necessarily competent to be a workers' comp lawyer taking that little adjunct class in law school, because there's more to it than what they can teach you in that class.
Well, then, two-part question for you. Where does a lawyer go to get more training in workers' comp post-law school? And how do you know if a lawyer has sort of adequate training or enough experience in workers' comp law?
Okay, well, the way lawyering works, you graduate from law school after 3 years, you take and pass a bar exam, and you're licensed to practice law, and then you end up in a law firm or maybe a government agency. And when you get there, you're going to have typically older, more experienced lawyers who are your mentors or trainers. So you're coming in as a brand new lawyer, and, you know, you've got your academic credentials and your license, but you don't really know how to do anything. Mm. So it's up to these senior people in your employment situation to teach you. And that's how most people learn workers' compensation law, if that's the area they're going to practice in. That's how lawyers learn just about any area of the law, is they have to have a teacher or a mentor after they get out of school.
Well, I think it's safe to say probably just about any field, no matter how much education you get in the field, when you come out, you need someone to kind of take you under their wing and sort of show you the ropes. I know for me in this industry, you know, I came out thinking I knew it all. You know, I mean, I had a piece of paper that told me I did. At least that's what I thought. But as it turns out, you know, I was nowhere close to needing what I actually needed. But I would think, you know, especially in workers' comp, experience has got to be extremely important. I mean, especially if you're not getting a lot of that taught on the front end.
I think it is extremely important, because we learn, whether we're workers' comp lawyers or radio broadcasters or carpenters, we learn from our experience. Mm-hmm. And we learn from our mistakes, and we learn what worked well. And I think experience for workers' comp lawyer and for any lawyer is extremely important. And in fact, there's a little saying you may have heard that if you need a doctor, go get a young one fresh out of school because they're freshest on all the latest medical technology and so forth. Mm-hmm. But if you need a lawyer, get an old one, because that that experience of that old gray-haired lawyer makes him or her a better lawyer than the young buck who's 28 and has been out of school for 2 years and just doesn't have the experience.
Yeah.
So you know, that's kind of a common knowledge type of thing. But the experience you get as a lawyer handling these cases, every time you settle a case, negotiate a settlement, or go to court for somebody and try a case and write a brief, you learn something. Mm. You learn more law. You learn what arguments work and what arguments don't work. You learn what the other side thinks is important in the settlement discussion. And it takes years to really accumulate that experience and use it to your client's advantage. So it's important, I think, to get an experienced lawyer to help you with your workers' compensation case, because that experience is so valuable to your case if you're the injured worker who needs a lawyer.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'll bring it back to where we were, you know, as far as getting that experience. How does a lawyer become like a certified specialist in workers' comp? How does that happen?
Well, here in North Carolina, the State Bar set up this certified specialist program years ago to protect the public and to let the public know which lawyers are truly specialists in a particular field. Mm-hmm. And in workers' comp, you have to have, I think, 500 hours a year of handling workers' comp cases for the last 5 years, I believe it is. You have to take more than the minimum required continuing legal education in workers' comp for the last couple of years before you apply to be a specialist. And then you have to sit down and take a bar exam on workers' compensation. Hmm. Now, I took it in the year 2000, and I still remember it vividly because it was a rough day. I tell you, the bar exam, up until that time, the bar exam was the worst exam I'd ever taken in my life. Bar exam is 13 hours over 2 days. It's horrendous. Ask anybody who's taken it. They'll tell you the same thing.
Sounds like a bad cruise.
I tell you, man. The specialization exam was, if I remember correctly, it was a six-hour exam. It was right at 300 questions. Most of them are short answers. There's a couple of essay questions, a handful of multiple choice questions, but most of them required you to write. It was an open book exam, but you didn't have time to look anything up in the book because you had so many questions to answer and so little time.
Yeah.
So you have to pass that exam. And I fortunately passed it along with a number of others. And after you do all these requirements and pass the exam, they will certify you as a specialist in that area of the law. Hmm. And what that tells the public is the State Bar has vetted this lawyer. He's met the educational requirements. He's met the practice experience requirements. And he's passed this horrendous exam. Okay, so he's smart enough and knows enough to be a specialist. So gotcha. We're going to let him call himself or herself a specialist. Okay. See, lawyers can't call themselves a specialist in North Carolina in anything unless the State Bar has put you through this process and said it's okay. Mm. You're a certified specialist. So that's what a certified specialist in workers' comp is. And I would say to the listener, any certified specialist in workers' compensation is going to know what they're doing. It comes down to who do you like dealing with the best, because everybody has a different personality. But anybody that's got certified specialist in workers' comp and their specialization certification is current, they're going to know what to do. They're going to know how to do it. They're going to be very competent to handle the case for you. Mm. So I would say if you're looking for a lawyer, you start there. Yeah. Go to the State Bar website. They have a directory of specialists. You can look at it based on geographic location. You can look at it based on the specialty area. Make a list or print it out. Make a list of the lawyers in your area who are certified specialists in workers' compensation. And that's where you start your lawyer search if you feel like you need to talk to one and get a free consultation or hire one.
Mm. Well, I do. I hope recording this radio show is not nearly as bad as that test.
No, this is fun.
You're listening to Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke. We're talking to Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm. If you need help with anything to do with workers' comp, feel free to reach out to Bob. He's a great guy and he can help you a lot. Stick around. We got one more segment and we'll be right back right after this. ¶¶
The Bollinger Law Firm is based in Charlotte, but takes workers' compensation cases across North Carolina. Attorney Bob Bollinger has a strong reputation as a lawyer for people who have been injured at work in North Carolina. Bob will go to court whenever necessary to ensure that his clients get the workers' compensation benefits that they deserve. It is important to have a lawyer who will go to court for you if necessary. Some lawyers avoid going to court and want to settle every case before trial. Bob Bollinger will go to court, and he has been a certified specialist in workers' compensation law for over 15 years. He has successfully handled hundreds of workers' comp cases. Questions about your workers' compensation benefits and obligations? Talk with specialist attorney Bob Bollinger. Consultations are always free. To schedule a free consultation with Bob regarding a work injury in North Carolina, contact the law offices of the Bollinger Law Firm at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Or go to their website at BollingerLawFirmNC.com.
Welcome back once again to Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke, where each week we talk to local experts in a variety of different fields. This week we're talking to Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm about workers' comp law. Bob, we've discussed a lot of different things here. I wanted to ask you one quick question, and you know, this I don't want to put any blanket statements on anybody, but I see a lot of advertising for lawyers and things like that, specifically sometimes workers' comp. I mean, can you tell me a little bit about what your thoughts on that are?
A lot of lawyers advertise that they do workers' compensation cases and personal injury cases, too. A lot of times the same lawyer will do both types of cases. Now, there's not much overlap there. The only overlap is if somebody got hurt. Workers' comp and personal injury are two completely different bodies of law. They don't even go to the same court system. So the only overlap is that the injury, exactly. Somebody got hurt. But the lawyer advertising, the Supreme Court in 1976 said lawyers could advertise because a lot of states wouldn't let lawyers advertise. And the U.S. Supreme Court says, well, that's constitutionally protected commercial free speech, so you can advertise. And unfortunately, what's happened with lawyer advertising since then is that a lot of the ads that we see on TV are kind of distasteful and make lawyers look bad. I think we can probably all agree on that.
Yeah.
The question really is, the Supreme Court said, well, consumers need the information that's provided by advertising to help them select a lawyer. So that's a legitimate question. So let's try to answer that. You know, yeah. Does advertising help you pick a lawyer?
Yeah, I mean, that's I don't know for me that it does. I think I would still want some more research for sure.
Absolutely, that's the right answer, Will. That's what I think. I think lawyer advertising gives you, as the consumer of legal services, I think it gives you a starting point to do further research on what lawyer you want to hire to help you. And there are other ways to research a lawyer that I think are much more reliable than a TV ad or a Yellow Pages ad or a billboard or whatever you see. Those things, by their very nature, have limited information. So what you do is if you see a TV ad or a billboard or something and you say, okay, I need to check that lawyer out, then go do some other research. And I'm going to tell you how to do that other research.
Yeah, well, and that was going to be my next question. I mean, where is my starting point on that?
Well, you need access to the internet. So you get on the internet, and there are three websites that I recommend you look at. One of them is called Martindale.com. It's Martindale.com. That is the website of an organization called Martindale Hubbell. Martindale Hubbell has been a peer review rating service for lawyers for decades. They go back about, I don't know, 75 or 100 years. And back in the day before the internet, they published these great big old thick books that were about 6 inches thick. And every law library and every lawyer had a set of these things that they bought every year. And it had a little biography of every lawyer in America in it, along with a rating. Martindale rates lawyers. And the rating system is, starting at the bottom, it's CV, then it goes up to BV, then to AV, and the very top people in the AV category, which is the highest list, are called AV preeminent. Now, the V means that the lawyer conducts himself ethically in handling a case. The A, B, and C designations are different levels of legal skill, with A being the highest. Now, it's peer review, which means that other lawyers are surveyed. You know, a lawyer will get a survey, and like, Will, let's say you're a lawyer in the community, you might get a survey that says, do you know Bob Bollinger as a workers' compensation lawyer? If so, tell us what you think about him. And then you have a whole list of things that you rate, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think it is, with 5 being the highest. Mm-hmm. And they collect these surveys from the lawyers in the community. They compile them, and that's what makes the lawyer's rating, the AV, BV, CV. The top 5% of lawyers rated are AV preeminent. And then below that, you have the rest of the AV people, and then BV and then CV. Now, if a lawyer's not rated, it's usually because he or she has not practiced long enough, because you need to practice law about 8 or 10 years to get a rating.
Hmm.
And you don't get a rating unless you get the V. Your peers have to say, this lawyer is an ethical practitioner. If they don't say that, you don't get rated at all.
Hmm.
But an AV lawyer and a BV lawyer are both certainly very competent. A CV lawyer is probably pretty competent, too, except that that lawyer just doesn't have a whole lot of experience yet.
Mm.
The other website you want to look at is superlawyers.com. That's another peer review rating organization, and super lawyers are considered to be the top 5% in terms of the lawyers that are rated in the survey by their peers. And if you're in that top 5%, you get named to be a super lawyer, and you show up on the superlawyers.com website. Hmm. So that's roughly the equivalent of the AV preeminent at Martindale. And then the third website you need to look at to research a lawyer is avvo.com, A-V-V-O.com. Hmm. Avvo has a profile page for a lawyer, and you can look at that profile page, and you get biographical information. But most importantly, you can see client reviews of that lawyer.
Oh.
So clients can come in there and post a review of their lawyer, and the lawyer cannot manipulate those reviews. All the lawyer can do is ask a client to post a review. And the client comes in and rates that lawyer with 1 to 5 stars, just like Yelp or Google ratings,
yeah. And
then writes a comment. And don't focus so much on the stars. Focus on the comments, because those are actual clients telling you what their experience with that lawyer was like, whether they had a good experience or a bad experience.
Hmm.
I think that's very valuable for someone looking for a lawyer. Avvo.com also has a section on the profile where other lawyers come in and endorse or recommend that lawyer. These are typically lawyers who are familiar with the lawyer you're looking up. And a lawyer might say, you know, I've known Bob Bollinger for 10 years, and I refer workers' comp cases to him. He does a fine job for everybody I've referred to him. I endorse him.
Hmm.
You know, it might be something like that. So you can look on the profile, read those reviews, read those endorsements, and get a good feel for what the clients are saying about that lawyer. Mm-hmm. And if the lawyer checks out on Martindale, super lawyers, if the lawyer's a certified specialist and the lawyer has good reviews on Avvo, then you found somebody you ought to go talk to.
There you go.
Because it doesn't get much better than that.
It's amazing. The internet has changed the way we do and sort of research and learn everything.
Oh, it really has.
It's amazing. Well, this is Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke. We've been talking to Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm. If you have questions about workers' comp, or if you feel like you might need to speak to a lawyer, just found this out today. It is a free consultation, as the state it makes you do it that way. You have to do a free consultation. So if you have questions about workers' comp, feel free to reach out to Bob at the Bollinger Law Firm. Bob, as always, it is great to see you, my friend.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate you having me on the show, and I look forward to coming back another day.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
The Bollinger Law Firm is based in Charlotte, but takes workers' compensation cases across North Carolina. Attorney Bob Bollinger has a strong reputation as a lawyer for people who have been injured at work in North Carolina. Bob will go to court whenever necessary to ensure that his clients get the workers' compensation benefits that they deserve. It is important to have a lawyer who will go to court for you if necessary. Some lawyers avoid going to court and want to settle every case before trial. Bob Bollinger will go to court, and he has been a certified specialist in workers' compensation law for over 15 years. He has successfully handled hundreds of workers' comp cases. Questions about your workers' compensation benefits and obligations? Talk with specialist attorney Bob Bollinger. Consultations are always free. To schedule a free consultation with Bob regarding a work injury in North Carolina, contact the law offices of the Bollinger Law Firm at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Or go to their website at BollingerLawFirmNC.com.